Welcome, everyone, to the latest All Lions podcast, made possible thanks to SI.com and Fan Nation. I am the Doc, John Macaroon, checking in after a week off. My goodness, so much to talk about regarding the Detroit Lions. My goodness, the draft is just 2 weeks away when you really look at it from a perspective of where this football team is going to go. Man, the end of the month for the Detroit Lions, I think everybody's kind of now settling in, ready for Brad Holmes to make his decisions. And it's going to be real fascinating, a real interesting look at how Brad Holmes is going to navigate this draft. Does he move up? Does he move down? Do teams try to position themselves just ahead of the Lions to select players that the Lions would like? And just in this podcast, just want to kind of talk about the draft, furthering our thoughts regarding where the Lions could go, players they could target, and potentially a look at some players that are currently on the roster that are not being talked about a whole lot that could still make a solid impact for the Detroit Lions. I'm excited for the draft. It's real interesting. Now our crew is starting to debate, okay, which of us at All Lions want to be downtown, which of us want to go to Allen Park. And I think for a lot of people, it's real fascinating because the scene, the expectation of what's going to go on downtown, everybody wants to be a part of it. You want to be part of a great scene, being part of a lot of passionate fans, especially from the NFC North. The Bears fans are expected to come in droves, Packers fans, Philly Eagles fans. You recognize teams from, really, there's a lot of teams that are within a 4 to 5 hour drive from Detroit. So there's going to be an expectation that this, you know, draft is going to hold a lot of passionate football fans that are excited to see what their teams are going to accomplish. Me personally, I'm not that much into crowds. I know that it's a fun atmosphere, but to just try and navigate parking, I know I probably end up lost. I'd probably end up in the wrong media room, and it just would be chaotic to kind of organize everything. So I think other staffers at All Lions are going to represent and be in the Campus Martius area, be part of the scene while I go to Allen Park and write and kind of cover the draft as it shakes out. That's what I've done the past several years. And draft night is special because there's the anticipation of what could happen. Could a team decide to move up, down? Are there surprises? I think watching the draft from a team's practice facility also provides a lot of insights too in regards to how others are viewing the draft, what some of the chatter is about. So for me, I think being at Allen Park is much more conducive, maybe a little bit less of a chaotic scene than what's going to be going on downtown. But just make sure you check out all the details. They are all available online to know which apps you have to have, what you have to have registered, and make sure you understand everything you got to do so you don't get left out if your plan is to get downtown for the draft. I think that I'm excited to see all the passionate Lions fans that are going to dress up, all the fans that you guys all know and love being downtown in the front row. Even if it's 11:15 at night and the Lions decide to make their pick and we all get excited and decide, you know, to celebrate the new addition to the Detroit Lions. But I think now you're starting to hear kind of what is kind of going to be expected from the Lions' first round pick. I know that many people believe that, you know what, this pick at number 29 needs to come in right away and have immediate impact. And I think you have to taper your expectations in regards to just how fast this player is going to move up the depth chart and earn a spot. The competition now with the Lions really is going to be something to watch in mini camps and at training camp, because you look at it, you have clear-cut starters and veterans across the board at several spots. So a young rookie like a Darius Robinson, many would expect, okay, now he's your starting edge and he's there. But you still got James Houston on the roster who is expected to, you know, rebound after an injury-plagued 2023 season. Many people want him to become, or are going to explore if he's going to become a three down defensive lineman and outside linebacker. Does he make an impact? Does he get out on the field? Because we know that he's a sack specialist. We know that his pass rushing prowess got him attention and got him on the field, but there's going to be more to his game that he's got to flush out in regards to his assignments and responsibilities, and recognizing that, hey, you can't just be irresponsible in the run blocking scheme and your assignments and your gap responsibilities if you know you can't set an edge or you can't recognize and adapt quickly to run block, you know, options and things like that, run pass from the opposing offense. You got to make sure that you're aware that you're, you know, understanding what your responsibilities are and executing on each down. Otherwise, Aaron Glenn is not going to stand for that, and the coaching staff is not going to just allow James Houston to be on the field for three downs. And you got to compete with the likes of Marcus Davenport, who's hungry, who's going to want to come back and prove that, hey, I belong out here. The Lions made an investment to bring him to the organization. He's going to want to show that, hey, I'm going to keep a rookie off the field. So the likes of Adarius Robinson, I think everybody loves what they see on tape from Adarius Robinson, but he'll come in and he'll have an opportunity to compete if he's drafted. But I just think that the expectation is that, you know what, the Lions have a good football team and they may not need their first day one, day two picks to immediately come in and contribute. Whereas in years past, when you have a team that is not as good, not as proficient and devoid of talent, then all those draft picks are really vital, really key. So to me, you look at this Detroit Lions football team, and that's why I kind of feel like everybody's relaxed. Everybody's going into this draft with a festive atmosphere, with a festive attitude. Like, you know what? Let Brad cook. Let him do his thing. Many people are happy. They're satisfied with an NFC team that really battled their way to compete with the 49ers and were within 30 minutes of getting to the Super Bowl. So many people, I feel like, are relaxed. They're excited for this draft. They're not as nervous. They, you know, when you look at different different topics and things like that, clearly people aren't fond of the Lions potentially adding a running back, quarterback, or tight end. I get that. But, you know, you sense when we do the previews at different positions, the articles that talk about quarterback, running back, and tight end, people are like, why are you writing about this? Well, there are positions that the Lions could add in the draft on day two and three that would add depth. So we can't just hear at an NFL website just neglect other positions. That's why we do it. But I always find it funny those that comment, why are you talking about running back? Yeah, I like the running backs that the Lions have. And a player that many people are not talking about, too, are Craig Reynolds and Zonovan Bam Knight. I think those two players really will have an opportunity to continue their growth. I think that Bam Knight is a player that, you know, unfortunately did not get a chance to see the field all that much in 2023 when he was brought on. But I think that if he's healthy, he'll provide the team with a solid option at number running back three or four, depending on where the competition shakes out with Craig Reynolds. But I think that when you see the benefits of having a Craig Reynolds on this roster, he's a player as well outside of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery that I think can contribute in the blocking scheme. And when you give him his spot reps, really is productive and benefits from having a good offensive line. He's a solid role player that has taken advantage of being on a team and having an organization put their faith in him, develop him. He's a player in Craig Reynolds that really, he had the block of the year on Carlton Davis. And it'll be funny when the first reporters ask, hey, you know, Carlton, you remember the block that Craig laid on you on Amon-Ra's touchdown? And they'll have some fun jokes there. We'll see if Craig Reynolds shows up in Carlton Davis's media session and kind of reminds him that, hey, you know, it's going to be competition day in, day out at practice. And it'll be a fun competitive banter. And that's what you want, is you want the defense to battle against the offense. And in practice, that's what's made the Lions, I think, special, is that, you know, they take practice seriously, especially knowing how valuable the coaches feel it is, and it determines a lot of playing time, competition, where people are on the depth chart. So it's going to be fabulous. So pay attention to Craig Reynolds and Bam Knight. I think the running back position is pretty secure. I would be shocked in talking to a media member at opening day. I think many people are understanding that the only thing that really would shock media members or fans would be if they took a running back in the first round again, or they took a tight end, knowing that they have Brock Wright, James Mitchell, and Sam Laporta as the number one option. So I think that, you know, an offensive weapon from the running back spot, I just don't think is needed. Now, I would not be surprised if they took a wide receiver. The class is really strong. You see that the opportunity potentially, you know, like I said before, on many occasions, Keon Coleman is my draft crush for obvious reasons. You know, it stung when he left Michigan State. Bitter, the bitter pill that you have to swallow when you recognize a player really didn't have plans to stay his whole career. But boy, did he emerge for Florida State, and he was a big play option. So to have a player like Keon Coleman added to this offense would be spectacular. I don't think you have any concerns or any nervousness or nervous energy if a Keon Coleman comes to your football team. But a couple players that I think are interesting to pay attention to from the Lions are, don't forget, there are players on the lower end of the depth chart that maybe have been given reserves futures contracts that many people are not talking about. And at the end of the year, they signed Traquan Smith to a reserves contract. And I think he's a player to pay attention to in mini camps and training camp. I think when you see what he can potentially bring to the table, he can provide a lot of competition for Donovan Peoples-Jones and Khalif Raymond moving forward. So I think that when you see what's going on with the Lions at the wide receiver spot, you can feel comfortable. There's not too much concern when you look at it. You know, he's a player, Smith, that understands what the Lions are about, having spent time with the Saints. He was drafted in the third round of the 2018 draft. And Smith was there for a couple seasons, I think three, with the Saints when Dan Campbell was there. And looking at his numbers, he's logged 67 career games, 131 catches for 1,764 yards and 18 touchdowns. And just his situation ended with the Saints last year. And, and then he moved on to play for Sean Payton and the Broncos. So you look at Traquan Smith, he could be somebody that could be an option to kind of potentially get in there and earn some playing time. But a player that not a lot of people are talking about that I think people misunderstand and kind of you recognize the pattern that the Lions are kind of following, which is, hey, let's give everybody an opportunity that's drafted to make the team and contribute. And I think a player at wide receiver that could prevent the Lions from taking an offensive skill position early is Antoine Green. I think he's a player that fits kind of what Josh Reynolds did and is going to be expected to take that next step forward in his second year. You turn on his tape and he's got all the tools that if he can just pick up, you know, route running, crispness, consistency, that's the key, is that when a player is drafted, they have a skill set clearly that appeals to an organization, whether it be, you know, speed, size, the talent level. But then the next step for a young wideout is the ability to grasp the multiplicity, the intricacies of an offense. And Ben Johnson's offense has a lot of real intricate aspects that are not easy to pick up right away in regards to route trees, different reads that a receiver has to make based on the coverage. There's a lot of quick decisions that a receiver has to make based on whether it's man zone, based on the who is matched up against them. So it's not just that easy. And I'm like, part of what was special about Josh Reynolds was he was willing to teach the game. When we talked to him, he talked about when, you know, early in the year, if you guys recall, Dan Campbell talked about just how much has been put on Josh Reynolds' plate in regard to blocking assignments. His Wednesdays when the installs were made were just really tough for Josh Reynolds because there were so many aspects of what he had to learn in regards to three different spots, you know, the XYZ spots, the different responsibilities that he had for that week, and the blocking schemes and everything that went on. So there's a lot to it other than just running routes and catching the ball and getting open. There are things that also that are involved in routes that you're not maybe the primary target that, hey, you draw a certain defender away from the responsibility that the zone has, so that a guy like Sam Laporta can get open, so that there are creases and gaps and open lanes for a Jahmyr Gibbs. It's intricate. And you can sense quickly that a rookie is going to struggle a little bit. Any rookie is going to struggle. But Antoine Green, now a year now in the system, I think can be a guy that really pushes Donovan Peoples-Jones for the opportunity to be wide receiver three. And Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think, is a player that's real intriguing because wasn't used much. He's kind of a player that still has the label of a lot of potential. And he's got that skill set. He's a hard worker. I think he's a player on offense that even is a veteran that comes in still has to learn. That's why when we saw Zach Ertz come in, we knew most of us kind of had a sense that he wasn't going to play in that first playoff game. He was brought in to kind of be a potential threat in the Super Bowl should the Lions have advanced past the 49ers. So you realize Ben Johnson's offense is not one you just come in and then you just start in 2 days. You need a little bit of time to understand the verbiage, responsibilities, and understanding, too, what a game plan looks like in regards to how Jared Goff wants things, because he's very precise. So an Antoine Green, in my mind, has an opportunity to earn a lot of reps this year and has an opportunity to kind of step in. And you look at it, a lot of combinations that look really solid. When you have a Jameson Williams, an Antoine Green, and an Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's not bad. Or you mix and match with an Antoine Green and a Khalif Raymond, who always is somebody you can rely upon. So, you know, even though we talk about the draft and we talk about positions and where people could go and what areas this team could address, you look at what's coming back and there's a lot of talent, a lot of positivity to focus on in some of the players. I just think that that's why I think a lot of people would scratch their heads if it was a running back, because you got four solid ones. They wouldn't, because you realize, okay, if there's a player at an elite level at wide receiver, you can have some competition and maybe force an Antoine Green and Donovan Peoples-Jones to step up their game even more. So we'll see which type of wideout, if the Lions target one. Probably safe bet that they probably wouldn't do it in the first round. They could do it in later rounds, could be because you're hearing that the Lions are doing a lot of work on the wide receivers. It's a deep class, and you have an opportunity to get a solid, productive wideout on day two or day three, because you do have a plethora of picks. You have seven total picks, and you know day two and day three might be more interesting this year to pay attention to than even day one in regards to what happens. To look at now the defensive side of the football, many people obviously heard the comments and the kind of conflicting comments regarding the cornerback spot. Look, it's still a position of need. You can never have enough cornerbacks. You just can't. You need really a room that understands exactly what's expected, and having Deshae Townsend now be the defensive backs coach gives a lot of people a lot more comfort than Dre Bly. For whatever reason, the Lions decided to go with an inexperienced coach in Dre Bly at the NFL level, and it didn't work out. But Deshae Townsend is a perfect hire. He's going to come in and really put the challenge and the opportunity in front of these defensive backs to step up, compete, and understand what it really means to be a defensive back in Aaron Glenn's system. So you look at the players that are returning now and that have been acquired, the defensive backs room is upgraded, and it's a room that's going to be really reliant upon health, that they need to stay healthy. Carlton Davis, Amik Robertson, and Kendall Vildor going to have their opportunity to battle against Emmanuel Mosley, and you hope that, you know, for the Lions' sake, that he has an opportunity to get there and be a player that can be available by training camp. If he's available, that really puts a lot of opportunities and a lot of different mixing and matching opportunities for Aaron Glenn. And so the question kind of is out there. How many reps are, you know, potentially, how are they going to view the evolving role of Brian Branch? Because you recognize Dan Campbell said, you know, we're still going to target safety. We need a little bit of depth back there. And you got a guy in Brian Branch that is very versatile. I don't suspect that he would struggle transitioning to playing a little bit of safety with Kirby Joseph or mixing and matching his role as a nickel corner and splitting time with Amik Robertson. Many people believe, okay, Robertson probably is not going to play a lot on the outside because he would get targeted. And, you know, unfortunately, just look, if you're 5'8", you can't knock a man for his size, but, you know, he is undersized and he even describes that. But he's a hard worker and he's a savvy vet that has taken advantage of his skill set. So the key area, the strength that Robertson would bring would be in the slot. And you realize, okay, Brian Branch can now also, you know, spell a couple of the safeties when they need a break. But right now, you're relying on Kirby Joseph to take another step forward, which you can trust, and Ifeatu Melifonwu, who now emerged and I think is a player probably that you could pinpoint as being a player that's really integral for the 2024 defense. If Ifeatu Melifonwu can stay healthy, you saw what he brought to the table in regards to his physicality, his ability to blitz, his ability to intercept the football, and to cause havoc. So he was a player that, you know, is a player like a Derek Barnes that when you see him emerge, you go, wow, this is what was expected when Brad Holmes made him a selection in his first draft. Hey, there's some development. There's a player that could step in and basically forced out CeeDee Deuce, made the Lions comfortable enough to move on from a vet. And you realize he's got the size and you realize, whoa, this is a player that can evolve and really do some things. Yeah, you heard that Isaiah Johnson is going to be visiting or has had a visit with the Detroit Lions, the Syracuse defensive back. And you look at his tape and you look at his testing. I think a lot of people project that the big-bodied defensive back would probably play safety because of the fact that his speed kind of, it may not be exactly where it needs to be to match up on the outside with the top end fast wideouts. So you're looking at the Lions and they're bringing in a plethora of defensive backs. You're clearly understanding they're going to do their work on Kool-Aid McKinstry. They're going to do their work on all of the top cornerbacks, and you would expect nothing less. And it's going to be wild to see which one. Does it end up being Kool-Aid McKinstry? Is it somebody from Alabama? Is it a Tyrion Arnold? Who is the defensive back that the Lions are going to target in Brad Holmes? Because he hasn't drafted one yet. So the first one that gets the visit the first one that gets selected by Brad Holmes is going to be very, very intriguing because, you know, that means it's a special pick. It's a player that, you know, Brad Holmes admittedly is a cornerback snob, has a high amount of respect for that position, and is just not going to target a defensive back just to do it. They have to fit the box in regards to ability to cover, versatility, and football awareness and IQ, especially with the intricate nature of a lot of these positions. So it's going to be wild to see. I'm curious to see who that name is going to be. You look at some of the visits that you've seen, official top 30 visits, defensive tackle Christian Boyd, obviously McKinstry from Alabama, cornerback Quantes Diggers from the CFL, Nehemiah Pritchett, Sione Vaki from Utah was a surprise, you know, in regards to an announcement that he was going to have a visit. So I'm very curious in regards to the how Brad Holmes views a position of need like a cornerback spot in totality in regards to, does he bring him to the team and what is the expectation early on? Do you draft and develop a corner in the first round? I think a lot of Lions fans might be a little impatient for that. But I think the safety spot is one in which could be targeted on day one or early on day two when you see why, you know, where this football team has areas of need. Clearly, I think the favorite in the clubhouse is for an offensive lineman, and you can see why. When you have an aging offensive line and you have a couple of players, you don't know the how long the future is for Taylor Decker and Frank Ragnow and Graham Glasgow, getting older in the tooth. Look, still good players, but at the same token, you have an offensive line that's getting a little bit older. So Penei Sewell is going to be the foundational piece. You could have in the next 2 years, you could have by 2026, four completely new offensive linemen. So this could be a draft in which, you know, a bold prediction, maybe they take two offensive linemen, one early on day one and later on for depth. I know you still have Colby Sorsdahl in development. You have others in the weight that are developing, but those are probably more depth pieces than you would say, you know, an Awosika got some time as well. But you have kind of the back end's been okay in terms of the depth and the depth chart, but you kind of need to fill in some potential starters in the future. So it's going to be a fun time when you look at the Lions draft and where they could go. But Colby Sorsdahl, another player that I expect to develop and get some opportunities should one of the guys go down. You know, if a veteran, you know, unfortunately on either side of the guard position struggles or has an injury, I think you can plug in Colby Sorsdahl this year. That's the hope, is that he develops and becomes a player that the Lions can trust. So a lot of interesting talk regarding the Lions in the draft. But again, I think the theme is that you can trust the roster to really make it hard for a rookie to get some playing time. And could you imagine now you stockpile 7 picks and they don't have to contribute that first year? I just think that that's wild. I think that's great in order to have a good football team. You know, the next step of debates we're going to have in the coming weeks and future episodes of the All Lions podcast is trading up, trading down. What's the expectation going to be? Who's going to fill the roles of some of the departed players? We talked about it a little bit this week, but a lot of fun times ahead with the schemes, with the, you know, where do the Lions match up against other teams in the NFC? So many good things to talk about. It's the prime time now to broadcast and do podcasts. And we're thankful that All Lions has made the commitment, Fan Nation made the commitment to the Detroit Sports Podcast and myself and the crew to continue to bring you top line Detroit Lions coverage. We're credentialed. We're going to be out there, and to have them respect podcasts and to do the things that we want to do and give us the creative freedom and the opportunity to break down the Lions is great. And we're going to keep doing it, maybe even more. Maybe when an opportunity presents itself to broadcast more, you take advantage of it. And we hope that we've earned your trust. We hope that the new listeners come in and remain part of the All Lions community. It's a great opportunity now, as this football team is a team that's had success and is poised for more, to follow along with All Lions. And this class is going to be very interesting. This is going to be a draft that really sets the tone for the next step for the Detroit Lions, because it's one thing to get there. It's the next step to be able to sustain it. And that's what they're selling. Sustain success in lieu of, hey, we're not going all in. And you can check out a column I did this week about my dream Super Bowl of the Lions and Texans at All Lions. It just encompasses the debate that's being had right now. And I give my thoughts in my latest opinion piece for All Lions. So guys, thank you for the time. I enjoyed the opportunity to come in, check in a little bit in regards to everything going on with the Detroit Lions. I'm John Macaroon. This has been the All Lions podcast. Thanks everybody for tuning in and checking out my thoughts in regards to the players, the draft, and where we're at currently a couple weeks ahead of the draft. I'm John Macaroon. This has been the All Lions Bang the Table podcast.